And so, but right now, I just want to welcome you all, and I want to invite you to turn your attention to our elementary school lesson, which, if you think that truth comes from the mouth of babes, it also comes from the mouth for babes, because there's a good word in here as we start our message today.
Hey, everybody. My name is Erica.
Have you ever been on an obstacle course? It's like a maze of challenges designed to help you jump higher, think faster, and get stronger. But to get to the end of the obstacle course, you've got to have resilience. Resilience is getting back up when something gets you down. So if you happen to get knocked over, it doesn't have to be the end of the race. You can get back up and keep going. Every obstacle course is different, but you'll probably need to know how to climb. You'll need balance. You'll need to know how to get through the tight spots. And when an obstacle gives you trouble, you'll need to learn how to bounce back. There's a good chance you're going to face some obstacles in your life. In fact, sometimes life itself can feel like an obstacle course. But as you'll learn in today's story, you won't have to tackle these obstacles all on your own.
So when you do get knocked over, okay, who is doing that? I'll see you in a bit. But seriously, who was doing it?
The Bible. It's 66 books of history, stories, letters, and poetry that fit together to form God's one big story. The epic adventure of how he created us and loves us so much that he made a way to rescue us. As we travel through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, we discover people who met God and found their lives changed forever. Now, for an amazing story, inspired by the book of Matthew, chapter 28, and the book of Acts, chapters 1 and 2.
Imagine that you are one of Jesus's closest friends. And 3 years ago, he invited you, to join him.
Come, follow me.
For 3 years, you followed Jesus from village to city to countryside as he teaches.
You are the light of the world.
Encourages.
Blessed are those who are sad. They will be comforted.
And heals.
Get up, take your mat and go home.
You know that Jesus is no ordinary rabbi. He's been sent by God.
You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God.
Soon, you think Jesus will reveal who he really is to everyone. Maybe he'll even lead a revolt against the Romans. With Jesus in charge, anything could happen.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna!
But then, during the Passover week, things get dark. The rumbling threats from the religious leaders become real. One of Jesus' followers, Judas, betrays him to the leaders for a handful of silver. Jesus is arrested. He's given a fake trial, sentenced to death, nailed to a rough wooden cross, and then he dies. It's the darkest moment ever. It feels as if all the air has been slammed from your body. You don't know how to take another breath. You have no idea how you'll ever get back up. That's exactly what it was like for Jesus' disciples. His death knocked them flat, and they couldn't imagine how things could ever get better. But even in the darkest, downest moment, God was still present. God was still at work, and at the perfect moment in time, God raised Jesus from the dead.
Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.
Over 40 days, Jesus appeared to around 500 of his friends. He walked with them, ate with them, talked with them. At one meal, he told them,
"Do not leave Jerusalem. Wait for the gift my Father promised. In a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit."
At last, Jesus' friends met him in Galilee, where it had all started 3 years before.
Jesus,
Peter and Jesus' other followers were so overwhelmed with amazement and joy at his presence that they fell down and worshiped him. Jesus came close and smiled at them.
All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So you must go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And you can be sure that I am always with you to the very end.
The job Jesus had given his friends seemed impossible, except for one thing. He promised he would be with them, right by their side, forever. He told them,
"You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Then you will tell people about me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and from one end of the earth to the other."
Then, right before the eyes of his friends, Jesus rose up into heaven. They stared, amazed and confused.
"Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking at the sky? Jesus has been taken away from you into heaven, but he will come back in the same way you saw him go."
"How can Jesus be with us when he's gone?"
"What about this Holy Spirit?"
Jesus' friends were filled with questions. Not only did Jesus expect them to get back up, he'd given them a giant job.
"He wants us to tell the whole world about him."
"My head is spinning."
Jesus' friends waited for him in Jerusalem, just as he had told them. And within a short time, they discovered how Jesus would give them his power. The Holy Spirit came to rest on their heads like tongues of fire. And as the Spirit filled them, many were able to start speaking and understanding languages they hadn't known before.
"Wait, you're speaking like an Egyptian."
But all I said was, "Would you like a cookie?"
"In the language of the Egyptian."
"It's the power of God's Spirit."
"We can speak to everyone now."
Jerusalem was filled with believing Jews from many nations who had traveled to Jerusalem for the festival of Pentecost, and they spoke many languages.
"Fellow Israelites, listen to this."
Peter addressed the crowd. The other Jesus followers shared his words in every language.
"Jesus of Nazareth was a man who had God's approval. God did miracles, wonders, and signs among you through Jesus. With the help of evil people, you put Jesus to death. But God raised him from the dead. God has made him both Lord and Messiah."
"What should we do?"
"Turn away from your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then your sins will be forgiven. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit."
"I'm ready."
"Me too."
"Me three."
God's Spirit was so powerful in the followers of Jesus that 3,000 people believed in Jesus and were baptized that day.
"Wow, this is really happening."
"People will try to stop us. The religious leaders hate even the name of Jesus."
"But whatever happens, Jesus is with us. We can get back up. Keep going."
"That sounds like a bottom line."
Through the power of God's Spirit, the early church in Jerusalem grew quickly. The believers shared their lives. They studied and worshiped and ate together. And their fierce joy continued to draw people to Jesus. Though their challenges were just beginning, the believers knew that the power of God's Spirit could carry them through anything.
When Jesus was on the earth, he gave his disciples a mission. He told them, "Go and make disciples of all nations." All nations! That would have seemed like an impossible mission. But Jesus also gave his disciples a promise. He said, "You can be sure that I'm always with you to the very end." So the disciples knew they wouldn't have to face their impossible mission alone. Sometimes for you, and me, life can seem impossible. But guess what? God is always with us too. When you're trying really hard to get something done, God is with you. When you feel like every step you take has to be perfect, God is with you. When you're worried about school, when something bad happens out of your control, when you don't know what's going to happen next, God is with you. That's the one thing to remember today. God is always with you.
That doesn't mean you won't have to face any obstacles, but it does mean that you won't be alone when you do. Ha! Not this time. I got you. Resilience! Bounce back. That's resilience right there. I'll see you next time. Bring it.
And I thought cardio combat class was hard. That girl is intense, y'all. Hey, listen, so we learned all about what it means to have resilience and to bounce back, and I want to just back us up a little bit, because what we saw in this is that in the lives of Jesus' followers, there were some really great highs. There were some incredible moments where Jesus was healing and doing miracles. Jesus was casting out demons. And not only was Jesus doing that, Jesus was equipping his followers to do that. And even more than the miracles, some of the great highs with Jesus were that he actually took the time to see people that others didn't see. He looked to the outcasts and the overlooked, the underappreciated, and sometimes the sent away. To not only see them, but to know them in such a way, to love them in such a way that it elevated them, that it gave them self-respect, that it gave them purpose and mission and value, because that's who Jesus is and that's what he does for us. Can anybody relate to those moments in life where you felt worthless, where you felt like nobody saw you, where you felt like something was just after you? And Jesus intervened in the middle of that. But in the midst of the great highs, there were some great lows. There were some real struggles. The disciples, his followers, they faced some pretty big challenges. Because before the miracle of the feeding, there were 20,000 really hungry people looking to them to get fed. But because there were times when they were out on the water and great storms came up and they thought they were going to die. There were moments in the midst of all of it where they thought there would be great healing, and instead, the unthinkable happened and Jesus ended up on a cross and dying and dead. And in their desperation and in their grief and their fear, they felt overwhelmed. And as much as we've been with them in the high places, have you been in that place where you are flat on your back, looking up and asking, God, where are you? Maybe you're not flat on your back. Maybe there's just a slight obstacle in front of you, but you're looking to God to help you, to give you direction, to help you sort it out. And I think most of us can relate to that. What I saw as I even looked back in this beyond the video and looked over all that it covered. And by the way, kudos to that girl. Can we get her to preach? Because she covered 3.5 years of ministry in 11 minutes. I was so impressed. But as I looked back, what I saw was over and over and over again, Jesus' followers had expectations of what he would do and how he would behave. And over again, Jesus' actions did not meet their expectations. I mean, they expected Jesus to send the people away to go home and eat so they could catch a break and some rest. They expected Jesus not to send them out into a raging, deadly storm in the first place. Do we not expect that from God sometimes? They expected Jesus to rise up strong leaders in Israel that would overthrow an oppressive regime. And I'll tell you what else. They had never seen a Marvel movie, but they all expected Jesus to have a Bruce Banner turns Incredible Hulk moment on Calvary, where he goes from beaten and abused to shaking it all off and coming off that cross in all his power, in all his authority, in all his glory. And when he didn't do it, they didn't know what to expect anymore. Because to their eyes, it looked like Jesus was falling short. And if we're really honest and we don't put on our pretty church faces, doesn't it look sometimes in our lives like Jesus is falling short? Like, can we just be real and admit that sometimes we're thinking, hey, I need you to feed the masses right here. And it's not happening. But can I remind us that all along the way in the disciples' lives and in our own lives, Jesus was building faith. He was strengthening their resolve and he was developing their resilience. And that's exactly what he's doing with us, even though it rarely looked like it should. You know what? I noticed something this week, or something occurred to me this week as I studied, that I had not ever considered before. So I want to just take us to that moment, and she mentions it in the video. The moment at the end, like their last encounter with Jesus, right? And I want us to pretend or just imagine that we're there. We are there. There is the resurrected Jesus right in front of us. And he says, I am giving you all power and all authority. You're going to go tell the world about me. Now, this is the world that just killed him. This is the world that wants to kill the disciples. They're being hunted. This is the world that is, by the way, still being oppressed by Roman rule. This is the world they see. And Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. I got it all, and I'm giving it to you. Let me ask you, what superpower would you wish for in that moment if you were going to take on that mission? Oh, y'all, think about it. Like, you're taking on the world. Invisibility? Total strength? I always, always want Wonder Woman's lasso of truth so I can make the bad guys confess, right? Like, no more schemes and no more plots. Don't you wish we had that in politics where we could just make them tell the truth? In any of your wildest imagine of all authority and all power for the whole world, would you ever ask for the superpower of telling the truth and speaking a different language? Would that be first on your mind? Like, it never occurred to me before this week. I'm like, wait a minute, I'd want a better superpower. But see, God knew it was exactly what they needed. And he knows exactly what we need. And in that, as they had resilience, as they bounced back, not knowing what would happen, but following what Jesus asked them to do, then they saw the miracle. Then they saw life that wasn't just about one people group in one century, but was about the whole world for all eternity. They saw hope that was beyond their circumstance, and that is exactly what God invites us into. And so just reminding us that in the good and in the bad, God is with us. And it may not be what we think it should be, but it will always be what we need it to be. We just need the strength and the resilience to walk in it. Now, I have to tell you, when we planned this church launch 20 months ago, we were gathered, right? We were planning this church launch actually 2 years ago. We had a team. We had just signed a lease to rent Black Box. We were so excited. We had our purpose, our strategy. You guys, most of you don't even realize that BRIDGE is an acronym. Our strategy for this church was building relationships, intentional discipleship, and generous engagement. That's what we were going to do. And then COVID hit, and we got locked down, and we got quarantined, and we got socially distanced. And have you ever tried to build a relationship with a mask on your face when nobody had ever seen masks on faces before, unless you were maybe traveling? Yeah. Didn't look at all like we thought it would look. But God. We wanted to sponsor classrooms, and suddenly there were no children in classrooms. But God showed up. And in the midst of that, he has birthed this church and this community. And now the mayor and the town planner, the elementary school, and business leaders, they turn to us to partner with us to actually give us platforms to do what we set out to do, to let people know that they are seen and known and loved by God, and in that invite them into a relationship with Jesus that can change their lives. And so now, as we are coming off that mountain that was in front of us, and I know, I'm watching numbers, we're keeping track. Like, there's still going to be hills and valleys. We're not all the way through this yet. But we have to ask God what's next. And much like those believers on that first day when Pentecost came and their foreign language superpower was just what they needed and they had this next thing to do, God gathered them together as a group. And she shared this verse in the video, and I want to share it with you again. Acts 2:42, those new believers, they gathered up and they said they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. And so for us, Bridge Church, even as we head into our family meeting tonight, even as we look to our new sermon series, which, by the way, I'm so excited about. You guys are like, well, what are you so excited about? I'll tell you later. It's okay. But we have to look at our what's next. And I'm so excited to share with you that God has given us a way. He has opened the door, developed the leaders, brought the people forward, and taken us past the COVID place that we were at the beginning to invite us into that fellowship, because God was always with them, is always with them, is always with us, but he gives us our number one superpower, which is relationship with the Holy Spirit and relationship with each other. And so I want to share with you guys as we get ready for our new group launch what that's going to look like. Because we've been, you know, we've had the women's group and we've had the men's group, but that's been hard and in different spots, and it's just time to gather together. To break down the word and see what it says. To come together in a group and read the passage and be like, ask good questions of the text like we've been doing with our reading plan. To figure out how it applies to our lives. To have some worship, to have some prayer. To break some bread, y'all, and have some food, because that's just part of fellowship. Amen, church? And so can I share with you what's coming? Can I share with you the opportunity you're going to get next week to start signing up for some stuff, to get involved? Yeah, I got one yeah in the whole room. All right, let me try this again. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all the world. Gather together. We have a plan to do that. Are y'all ready to see what that plan is? All right. All right, so I want to share with you, we actually have 7 groups that are coming up. All the details aren't ironed out yet, but we will have them all available next week. Our group leaders will have a chance to chat with them. But guys, we got to get into community, because there are times when I can get over this hurdle by myself, and there are times when I need help and a hand up. There are times when Jessica thinks she can get over that box, and she doesn't stick her landing when we're setting up, and she absolutely needs a hand up. I love you, friend. We'll tell the whole story later. So listen, guys, we have these different groups that we're going to have. Living Color, which is an artistic expression of God's word. And that's artistic through all means, paint, pencil, watercolor, wood, metal, all the things, right? We have, and that meets Tuesdays at 10 a.m. right in the church office. Pastor Rick and I are going to be launching a couples group in our home, and that's going to take place on Friday evenings at our house. We're going to break bread together and have group. We have Midweek Mashup. We might come up with a better name with that one, but that is a group for everybody, and that's going to be right out here on the patio, or when the weather's not okay, in the church offices Wednesday evenings, and Kermit Kemmerer is going to co-lead that with me, so I'm so excited for that. We have our men's group that will continue to meet on Saturdays. We have an evening young adult group. Can I get a whoop whoop in the house? A young adult group. Okay, now, y'all, I'm just going to say, we are not a church of 500, and so young adult has a slightly broader definition. I think we're...
Hey, we're still young adults.
I'm with you. Look, I'm not a young adult. I'm past the cutoff, but yeah. So we're talking like 17 to 35, okay, like in that span. But we have a young adult group that's going to meet in the evening at Mary's, and she's still determining a day on that. Of course, our women's walking group, we had a great time yesterday, didn't we, ladies? And then we have a virtual venue. What we have determined is that it is way too hard to develop the kind of fellowship that you need to have in a group when you're trying to manage people face-to-face and at the same time simultaneously manage manage an online group. And so Sunji is going to be co-leading a virtual group with Jessica. And so that's for everybody. Again, that group is for everybody, but we will have one group that is a virtual only so that all attention can be given to around the room. Because God said, it's not good for us to be alone. Because God gave us this big, huge mission to go and tell the world about him. But to do that, we actually have to understand him to the best of our ability. We have to break into the disciples' teaching. We have to break into scripture and unpack that together. And we have to be in community and relationship together. Amen, church? Amen. And so those groups are going to launch the first week of June. We'll all have like a social before that. We'll gather before that, and you guys can meet up with group leaders and find out more next week. But I wanted to share that with you because the reality is, guys, life does have really big highs, and it's got really low lows. And sometimes it's a simple stroll through the park. And sometimes it's 100 push-ups and it's killing you and you need somebody cheering you on. And so the most important thing that we all know and that we take away from the video and we take away from everything that we believe here at Bridge Church is the number one thing is that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That we know that God is always with us. And then that we walk in that community together. As we grow to understand that we are seen and known and loved by God, and we share with our community here in Indian Head and wherever our online families are at, that other people are seen and known by God and they need to know that. Amen. Amen. All right. So bottom line, do you remember, guys, what the bottom line is? God is always with us. Leave it to our Bridge Kids director. God is always with us, and we are in community together. And so with that, Mary, would you come up and pray? Pastor Mary, would you come up and pray for us? And then, yes, go ahead and pray for us, and then I have something else, but pray for us first, please.
Father, we just thank you. We thank you for our church family. We thank you for community. We thank you that you are always with us. Whether we're on the mountaintops or in the valley, we just thank you that we are never alone, that you never leave us or forsake us. Lord, even when we walk away, you are just one step away. We just need to turn and call out to you. And I just thank you for that. Lord, I just ask that everyone who's under the sound of my voice, that they would just, that their hearts will be open to be a part of community, Lord. And Lord, many of us have been hurt in community and wounded in community, Lord. And oftentimes we're afraid to step back out, to venture again, to let our walls down and let people in. But Lord, would you just open hearts to take the first step, that their community would be safe, a safe place to heal, but also just to do life, Lord. I thank you for how you call us to do life together, that even when we fall, Lord, your word says that two are better than one.
That's right.
So, Lord, I just ask that you would just begin to prepare hearts for what group they should be a part of, what way, who they should be linking arms with, who at this stage of life they should join and talk to and just do life with, Lord. And Lord, would you just would you just be with each person in this room, Lord? I thank you for just the excitement in the room today. I thank you for all the babies in the room today, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for new life. We thank you for your promise and your word. In Jesus' name, amen.